depend on Jesus, for he's my friend and he's my guide. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus, for I found out if I trust him, he will provide. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus, for he's my friend and he's my guide. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus, for I found out if I trust him, he will provide. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus, for he's my friend and he's my guide. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus, for I found out if I trust him, he will provide. I'm learning how to lean and depend on Jesus, for he's my friend and he's my guide. I'm learning how to live and depend on Jesus. Oh, I found out if I trust him, he will provide. I'm learning how to live and depend on Jesus, for he's my friend. I'm learning how to live and depend on Jesus. For I found out if I trust him, he will provide. I'm learning how to live and depend on Jesus. For he's my friend and he's my God. I'm learning how to live and depend on Jesus.
Oh, he's my friend, and he's my God. Praise God. Well, it's good to have, see the Batesville representation here tonight. It's good. And Glenwood. We appreciate that. And Sister Amber and the girls and the boy. And the boy. Don't forget the boy. God can do anything with anything. You need God to do something for you? He can do it. Hallelujah. He's more than able. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just open our hearts and see what the Lord has here for us tonight. Somebody ought to be feeling a song or a testimony or something.
I don't know about the song. But I do have a testimony. I'm not afraid to trust him. Although thoughts and trials may come on every hand, I had an offer made to me. Just give up. Had a question presented to me. What's God doing in your life? What are you doing? I've been sick for over a week with no diagnosis. Barely get up out of bed. It was a day's chore just to put my shoes and clothes on. But I began to encourage myself. I said, I don't know what this is, Lord, but you do. And I'm just going to trust you. Monday morning, I called my family doctor, and the nurse said, Bill, it'll be September the 8th. I said, wait a minute, hold it. Not the way I feel. No. Can you look back in your books, see if you got something else? And she said, how about Tuesday morning? Sounds better. Not September the 8th, lady, please don't do me that way. You might be calling a mortician September the 8th. And I went in and we talked about several things as to what could be wrong. I said, I've been running this way for about a month. And I thought Geritol. all my vitamins would bring me up. I said, I kept getting worse. I felt like a V8 with only one cylinder firing. I said, I need more to tune up. But God was good to me. I began to encourage myself. Discouraging things came along. Question God. Why these things happen to you? Why you let this happen to me? And the ungodly is getting up in the morning, going on to work, happy. So, I will not take that route. I said, I began to quote the sayings of David. I've been young, but now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So, Lord, I can depend on that. Other scriptures, I said, I know you're there. I'm going to trust you. And I went all the week just piddling around the house, trying to do things. You know, if it take a man a week to just clean up his living room, and you don't ever get it done, there was a problem somewhere. I just drug around, went to the doctor. He sent me home with three medications, but that's not the problem. I'm a diabetic and high cholesterol, and that couldn't make me feel the way I felt. And I thought, I'll continue to call on the name of the Lord, who has always been there for me, said he would never leave me or forsake me. This morning I got up very early. I said, I'm gonna beat this fatigue rush, and I'm coming to church. So I get up, Brother Tyrone, about 6 in the morning, just to iron a shirt. Wore me out. I had to go back to bed when I got the shirt done. I woke up about 11, and I said, I'll make second service. But something within said, if you'll go, I'll touch you. Now who's talking? should I listen for something else? Or should I trust God? I said, Lord, I'm learning how to live and depend on you. And if this isn't you, I need to be prayed for. So it took me from about 11:15 to 12:15 to get ready. And another voice said, hey, man, they're having dinner now. Prayer meeting's over. You've missed it. But I came on anyway. And I walked through those doors. I was so thrilled to see Brother Harden talking about the wonderful name of Jesus. And I said, Lord, I'm here, but I need help. And after he finished speaking, we sang that chorus. I felt the Lord nudge me. This is it. I won't forget his wonderful benefits. You know, I feel better now than I felt all the week. I'm not ready to run any races, but I appreciate God and his loving touch. I appreciate his care for me. Oh, I've had to reach for some scriptures to keep my mind going steady. You know, God's been kind to me, so kind to me, Brother Smith. And I appreciate his love and mercy tonight. I was headed down the wrong road here several years ago, and God stopped me. I could have been mixed up in another group. You all wouldn't have liked me had that group really got a hold of me. I was endeavoring to become a Muslim and thought I had the world in my left pocket. But God had something else in store for me. Well, I just got up to say, Lord, I appreciate all you've done for me. Hopefully tomorrow I'll get my results, but I'm asking for a healing tonight.
All right.
I'm asking for a healing tonight. I'm asking for a miracle tonight. Yes, Lord. He's done so much for me. I can't let him go. I appreciate being here. I appreciate the words I heard today from Brother Harden. He's an exciting man, isn't he? I wish I could have heard more of him tonight. I remember when he first came around and he came to the old church. He had been by Brother Echabarrus. I was about half scared of him. He had Jesus written all over his briefcase. And he wanted you to know it. About the name of the Lord. I think Brother Echabarrus told him, say, brother, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but you're having a one-sided love affair. There's other people. He looked at Brother Echabarrus and, all right. Told him about some other churches, sent him to Little Rock. I don't know what all happened to him here, but he got another hook in his jaw. But I like to see him talk about the name of Jesus and how he magnifies the Lord and jumps and shouts. I thought, boy, I wish I had that energy. Wish I had that energy, Brother Harden. I'd run around this church for you. But I appreciate God tonight and his love and care. And I'm looking forward to going on with Jesus. I said in my talk while I was sick that nothing shall ever separate me from the love of God. Not where I've been, not where I could have been. Why would I want to leave this place? I appreciate God tonight and his love and care.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
on my way here, I was in my pickup truck. Rhonda was up in Illinois. She went to a funeral of a friend of ours. And on my way there to church, I was going down University, and all of a sudden, you know, I didn't have no clutch. I got a stick shift truck. And I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? There's how many more stoplights I got to go through? I thought, well, I'll pull over here and to the side here, right there where that old Ford dealer is and the Isuzu dealer there is. And I thought, I'll wait for traffic to get by and I'll pull around there. I'll just jam it into gear. Well, that didn't work, because when I pulled over there, I let the truck run. I tried to jam it into gear when there was no traffic coming. I thought, oh no. And it just so happens that on the corner right there, for some odd reason, there was a fire truck sitting there. And I opened my door up and I started trying to push the truck across the road, and that truck just pulled on up there across both lanes of that highway, and two guys got out and helped me push it off the road. I thought, boy, that is so nice. Because I was in my suit. I was, you know, couldn't climb underneath or do anything, you know. And I coasted on down there, and I was going to turn around and thank those men, and they was already back in their truck, and they back off the road again on the other side. And I pull in there right that dealer, and I put my bumper up almost to that gate. And I sat there and I thought, man, what am I going to do? I don't have my phone on me, because I was just going to church. You know, it's not that far. And I thought, you know, and all of a sudden I heard a little beep, and I look over to the side, and there's Brother Gene, Sister Martha, and the girl sitting there in the car. I thought, thank God. I thought, man, I mean, because I was continually like, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? And they said, you need a ride? I said, yeah. I said, I don't know what's wrong. I said, I just lost my clutch. And so he took me to church here, and we tried to figure out what the deal was. And we looked underneath the hood, and apparently I blew a line, but I didn't realize that at the time. I thought it was a slave cylinder. I know this is technical, but you just follow along with me. And we dropped the girls and Sister Martha off, and he took me down to the auto store. I got some brake fluid. Went back there and put it in there, and I started the truck up, and I step on the pedal, and Brother Gene says, I hear a hissing. I thought, great. He was just squirting out every time I step on the pedal. So we come back to the church, and he said, let's see if we can get this thing towed. This is all going on. You know, church is just getting ready to start here now. It's like 20 till or 8 or so. I thought, well, so we talked to Brother Steve Wallace, and he had a tow line. And we started asking around, and we ended up towing it with Brother Gene's car. I mean, and it made it, believe it or not. It pulled that truck of mine. And, well, I mean, the line wasn't that long, so we were just going about 8 foot apart or so, and I was his brakes, and he was taking off, and we were just going down the road. Every time there was a stoplight, he was hanging his arm out. Okay, slow me down, you know. So I didn't hit him. He got it all the way to my driveway, and he was taking me back to church, and I said, that poor old truck, I said, I don't know how long it's going to make it. And on the way back, he said, I just got a text. And he looked at it, and Sister Martha texted him, and she said, Brother Matt and Sister Reva offered their van for you to use so you go to work and you get your truck fixed. I thought, man, it's just step by step. You know, I'm trying to work this out in my mind, and he's just taking care of me, because my wife wasn't here, the car wasn't here, and I was really, you know, going to go to church and depend on him. I thought, well, I'll probably have to leave early to, you know, go home, because I got to get up early. Well, that didn't work out, which I'm really glad. But I got here, and church got over late, which was fine. And I got to hear Brother Hardin, and he said some things about joy and that, and it just stuck in my mind. It's like having joy gives you strength. And I thought, well, that is so opposite of what the world has. You know, you have strength, and then when you get strength and get things in, that's supposed to bring joy, and it's the opposite of what, you know, we're taught. And after church, Brother Matt gave me his keys, and I took it on home, and I went to work. I thought, I got this figured out now. So I'll go to the store after work. I'll get this part, come home, get that all taken care of. They'll pick the van up that night, and I'm good to go. I won't miss any work. That didn't work out. I put that part in there, and that wasn't a problem. It was that line, like we thought, because it was just leaking out of the bell housing, we thought. So I had to order the line. It wouldn't come in till 9 o'clock on Friday morning. Well, I'm at work, and I've already been there, you know, a few hours, and it's like, well, it won't take me very long. I'll get this all worked out. 11 o'clock, I'll be at work. You see how my mind works. I'm one of them people, I'm very orderly. So I was going along. I got that together and got the line on there. Then I pour the fluid in there. Well, the cylinder they gave me leaked. I thought, oh, great. So I got to take that cylinder off, go back to the store, go back. There was another hour wasted. I got it on there, bled the cylinder and all that. And then by the time I was all done, it was like 1:30, 2 o'clock. I thought, I'm not going in just for a couple hours. So I just sat down, got me a bowl of watermelon, just sat there and just ate and just relaxed. I said, this day's shot, I'm taking it easy. I was just too much stress. But I went to the work Saturday, and it was really a good day, because I got this song that come in my head. I don't know all the words of it, but on the way to work, I knew every word. It was really amazing. It said, the song, the words I remember is, you can depend on me, you can trust me. You know, I can't remember how it all goes, but I thought, boy, isn't that the truth? I was all alone, all by myself, and I could depend on him, and I can trust in him. And his people have helped me so many times, and you just don't realize how it is. But, and then with Brother Hardin that Wednesday night, and that joy he started talking about, and I seen him having it, I thought, this is real. This isn't put on. This isn't just trying to get people pumped up. You could just see it, and you could feel it. I thought, that's what this is all about, having joy in the Lord, living your life for God, letting him take care of you day by day. And I appreciate him, and I really appreciate his people and how they come through for me. And I think the Lord, you know, I would hope he really blesses them for helping me out. I mean, because I'm a nobody and a nothing, and why would he care about me? But he does, and I appreciate that. And I don't know what else I could do for him, but just to get up and thank him for him and his people.
Well, today's my birthday, so I just like to thank the Lord for letting me live to see another birthday and feel as good as I feel for my age. And, you know, I still excited about being alive. I like to learn something new every day, whether it's about the Bible or I love to read. You know, I'm just addicted to reading, so I'm a reading maniac. I just love to learn something every day. And but Brother Daniels was talking about his experience, and the only really serious problem I've had was 2 years ago this month. I had a blood clot in my leg, and it wasn't too bad. I spent about 4 days in the hospital, and it wasn't too painful, and I only missed one weekend of service. But then they put me on blood thinner, and 2 months later, Halloween night, I was waiting for the trick-or-treaters, and all of a sudden, it wasn't the leg that I had the blood clot in, but it was the other leg. And all of a sudden, I had a pain in my calf, and I don't believe I've ever felt anything like it. I mean, if a kidney stone or a gallstone was worse than that, then I don't know how you would stand it. But I went to the doctor the next day, and he looked at it, and you could see a dark spot in my calf. And what happened, the blood thinner had caused the blood to seep through my vessels, and it was pressing against my muscles. And he said, the doctor said, I know it's excruciating pain. And for 12 days, I never experienced such pain. Brother Daniels, I bet you were moving around faster than me, because I had my mother's walker. She was in the nursing home, and when I would get out of the bed in the morning, it was so painful that I couldn't hardly stand it. And by the time I got to the kitchen, I was in such pain. And instead of sitting down, I just plopped down in the chair. And over a day or two, the legs on the chair just bent out where I plopped down in the chair. So it was really intensely painful. And I think I missed about, I went 12 days, I couldn't even drive, and I think I missed 3 weekends of church. So that's my worst experience. So I can sympathize with what you're going through. And so I'm thankful to be here tonight. There was a lady in our neighborhood, her mother died, and so this other lady in our neighborhood, she and her husband are Church of Christ, so she came by this week to collect some money for donation for the flowers. So She brought a Church of Christ flyer by, because starting today through Friday they're having their gospel meeting, so it has it laid out, the time of the service each day and the title of the sermon. So today the topic was going to be, why is church so boring? So it would have been interesting to have heard his version of that. But from what I know about the Church of Christ, if we didn't have our band and our piano, that would be boring. And if we didn't have this liberty we have, that would be boring. And if we didn't have a vision of a restored church, that would be boring. But you know, I might just go one night this week, just to, it might make me appreciate even more what we've got. Anyway, the liberty we have here, I should have told her when she brought that flyer. I said, well, one thing about our church, you can question their doctrine. I should have said, I imagine I couldn't question the doctrine at your church. But I was telling Brother Talley on MSNBC a week ago yesterday, I was watching this documentary, and it was about this Church of God in Christ preacher, and he grew up in this church, and he became a preacher, and it showed him preaching. He was pretty dynamic, you know. But he got to studying the translations, and he came to the conclusion, well, this church was like between 6,000 and 10,000 people, and he came to the conclusion that they had the wrong interpretation of hell. So, you know, the opposite of what the religious world, I won't go into it, we have visitors here, but anyway, he came to the opposite conclusion. You know, they disfellowshipped him. It wasn't long until they put him out, and his wife couldn't believe that they would turn against him like that. So, you know, it's just so much confusion out here. And anyway, it is my birthday, and I hope that the Lord lets me help. Well, my grandfather lived to be 82, and my father lived to be 82, so I hope I have at least 15 more years. I hope I don't get so old that I no longer want to live. One time Brother House told me, you can get so old that you no longer want to live. So I hope I don't reach that stage. But anyway, I'm thankful for our good crowd tonight and our visitors, and hope everybody gets a blessing.
I don't think I've been up at all this year because I'm scared to death of that camera. So I know that shouldn't be, but anyway, I'm going to try not to look up there. I have so much to thank the Lord for. He's been so good to me. Yeah. I don't even know what to say. I just had that feeling when Brother Spence mentioned a while ago about reminding us, you know, that God can do anything with anything, that it's stuck with me since the youth meeting. I had actually heard Sister Krista talk on that on their website on the internet before our youth meeting, and then when she did it in the youth meeting, we were downstairs working, and the Spirit was so strong up here, it was seeping through the floor down there. So it was just amazing, the feeling, when that happened in our youth meeting. But I've tried to hang on to that since our youth meeting. Because it's true. He can do anything with anything, and I know I'm nothing without him. And I just wanted to share something. But a few weeks ago, I can't even remember how many weeks ago, our dogs were, it was like 10:15, 10:30 at night, our dogs started like howling and stuff. So they only do that when there's sirens. And so Nathan and I were jumping up, and we got out, and we looked outside, and there was a fire down at the end of our road that we live on. And I mean, they were huge flames, and And I panicked, and poor Nathan, he's like, you're going to have to get a grip. Go in the house and, you know, get the kids and make sure they are awake just in case. He assured me it wouldn't come down there to us. And but anyway, I, you know, got a hold of myself, and I actually got, before I got the kids, I got on Facebook and said, please pray now that there's a fire. But I knew I had friends online at that time, so I'm like, so it can't be used for good, because they, you know, we're praying now. But Nathan went down there, walked down there, and come to find out, it had been going for 30 minutes. It took the fire people 30 minutes to get out where we are, and I just learned a lot through that God. You know, and I know this, he protects you from dangers that we're not even aware of. I mean, because for 30 minutes, it was blazing, and the man that lived right next door to that, what caught on fire, he had been fighting it, literally, by himself for 30 minutes because he had four small children out trying to keep those flames from getting on his side of the fence. And so it just let me know that God protects us even when we don't even know what's going on, and I'm thankful that he did that, and it helped us. And I want to share something that happened this week. I went to the doctor on Tuesday, and she gave me some medicine, and she told me it would make me drowsy. Well, it literally knocked me completely out. And so Wednesday, all day I slept, and Thursday, all day I slept. I was just like, this medicine is very strong. And Friday, I fell asleep for just a few minutes Friday morning, and I just felt the urgency to wake up. And so I woke up, and I went and sat down at my computer. And Sister Rachel Smith had made a video of Sister Krista doing the her message about God can do anything with anything, and I clicked on that, and I just started crying. I needed that day, because I knew I needed to get a grip on myself. I knew I needed to be up, and I needed to be, you know, taking care of my kids and get my house clean. I wanted my house to be perfect before I start school tomorrow, and I had so much to do, and just listening to the words of Sister Krista talking about God can do anything in any situation, anything. I just told God right then. I said, God, you're going to have to wake me up. This medicine is so strong, I'm not with it. And the rest of the day, Friday, I was wide awake, and I was able to get my chores done and take care of my family and do what I needed to do to get prepared for tomorrow. And but the Lord he's been so good to us this year. He's helped us, and I'm trying to make changes in my life. So I know my life isn't where it needs to be in the Lord, and I've been watching our young people, how God's using them and how encouraged they were last weekend when they came back from Dallas. And I used to have that zeal, and I don't know where it's gone, and I want it back. So I've been trying to make changes in my own walk with the Lord, small steps, because I'm one, it's either all or nothing. I've always been that way. If I can't read my Bible through in a year, I'm not going to read it at all. Or, you know, if I can't pray for 30 minutes, I'm not going to pray at all. And I know it's got to be the little steps. If I make the little changes, he'll help me get to where I need to be. And for about 4 weeks now, I really, really feel God changing my heart and my mind about, you know, different situations, and trying to hang on to God can do anything with anything, no matter what it is in my life, how big or how small I think it is, he can help me. And I got a song from the Lord about 11 years ago about the mercy of the Lord. and he's really been dealing with me about that. Basically, the words are Lord, thanking the Lord for the mercy that he's shown me. I'm so unworthy of his love and the mercy that he's shown to me, but he saw something in me. I don't know what it is he sees in me or why I'm still here. I'm thankful I'm still here. I think about that song all the time, and I'm still here. Thank you, Lord, for leading me this way, because there's nothing else for me. And I want to go on with the Lord and do my part, whatever it may be, how great or small. I want to do my part, Brother Smith, to help build this church and help my family, whatever I'm supposed to be doing. Because like I said, it's either all or nothing with me, and right now I feel like I'm not doing anything. I know that's wrong. So just ask y'all to pray that the Lord will help me understand my place, what I'm supposed to be doing. I know a big part of it is raising my children right here in church and keeping us close to the Lord, and I just desire y'all's prayers as we face this school year. Homeschooling is, it's a full-time job. And I desire y'all's prayers, because I want to be a better example to my children. And I'm just thankful to be here.
I'm thankful to be here tonight. I was very honored to have Brother Fred and Sister Lynette Stewart come this morning, and their daughter, and be with us. I really appreciate them coming. And then Brother Weiniger and Sister Weiniger came last week with Brother and Sister York. They did an awesome job, and I really appreciate them coming. My parents are gone. It's a comfort to have someone you're comfortable with come and step in your parents' spot. It's kind of awkward when they're not there, because I'm not the preacher, but I know how things go, but I don't want to be in submission. So it's, you know, you feel kind of strange. And I'm so grateful for coming and being a part of you guys. I've been telling Sean about this church, and I don't know if it's because I've been bugging him or if he just totally surrendered and is like, okay, whatever, I'll just go. But we've been friends for a long time, since I was probably like 12. He's a little older than me. And I know he's seen a difference in my life, and I wanted him to feel what I felt. And I told him, I was like, go once. If you don't like it, you never have to see the people again. You know, whatever. I said, but I guarantee you, you'll love them just as much as I did. And you'll enjoy the circus music too. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. I did not tell him that. I told him when I first came around, I thought their band music sounded like circus music. So anyway, he had to understand the joke. But I'm so grateful for the body of Christ and what is meant to me. To be honest, it's not so much that you are a group as a whole. It's just to be a part of something, to be included, to feel wanted, you know. And Brittany was kind of laughing with me a while ago. She's like, man, you're going to want to come here all the time, because you guys are complimenting me on my weight. And and I do appreciate it. I don't want to be prideful, but I do appreciate it. But God has been helping me to lose weight. It's been a struggle that I've gone through, and anyone who's struggled with their weight would understand. But I humbly stand before you and say that God has helped me. It's not anything on my own. And I'm thankful for that, because it can uplift your spirit. It can help you to retain your joy. I'm not saying it's responsible, but it helps you when you feel better about yourself, because you've learned to use some self-control. And I believe God wants us to have self-control through him. So I'm just really, really thankful. I have so many things to be thankful for. I don't really know what to say. I didn't really have a planned out thing when I stood up just now, but I wanted you guys to know how much I appreciate you. I was blessed to come to the youth meeting. I know I haven't been here since the youth meeting, but I thoroughly enjoyed it very, very much. I felt so blessed to be a part and to come and to see so many young people. It was really encouraging to be around people. And the service was just so good. I felt changed when I left. I really did. I know I'm one of 1,000 people to say that, but I felt changed inside me. And I'm starting to learn that it's not just anyone's service, you know. It's every service. God changes you a little more to be like him, you know. And you go home and you live your life and you do what you do and you struggle and you have things happen. But when you come here, and it's like to me when I come and I hear the band play, it just melts away. It just all melts away. And sometimes if you see me start crying when the band plays, it's not because y'all are too loud or you're horrible or that you sound like circus music. It's just in my head, I'm going back to the first time I came and how lonely and confused I was and how much I needed you guys. And God knew that. And I hope you never get tired of hearing me say how much I appreciate it. Because I know it's not any one person. You know, Brother Smith, it's not you. It's God through you. It's Zach, it's not you. It's God through you. All your silly things you say that encourage me and that you probably get from your dad. it's not just you. It's God through you and making me feel welcome. And I'm so grateful. I really, really am. Mom and Dad being gone has been hard. I've missed them very much. It can get very lonely. But I'm learning to depend and lean on Jesus. So it's cool to be able to do that. And I know he appreciates it. But I told him, I was like, now, God, don't get any ideas. You're not taking them away. You know, I want my parents. But I'm thankful. God has just been really dealing with me and changing things in my life. I know I'm not there yet, but he's been changing me, and I can feel that. I can feel a difference. And Sean and I have hung out like just sporadically. You know, we won't talk for a couple months, and we might talk or whatever. You know, when you're by yourself and you're the only one in the youth group, you get pretty lonely. So I'm like, hey, Sean, I don't know how to play tennis, but you want to go play? And he's like, okay. And so we just do whatever. But we've been good friends, and I've prayed for him quite a bit and trusted God for him and things and situations in his life and been there for him. And I'm just so glad that he came. I really am. It's I don't know. It's really cool. A couple of you asked me if he's my brother. No, he's not my brother. So, but anyway, I don't know what y'all are pointing at. If that was for me. Okay. anyway, I was like, salvation, where is it? Anyway, I want to ramble on. I'm sorry, but I don't want to do that. But I'm so, so grateful for everything and just to be here. I'm really, really glad.
Thank you.
I thought maybe I'd sit down and listen to everybody else, but you know, there's something in my heart that has a thankfulness. And those songs that Sister Cindy was singing about trusting God, and I am so thankful that God has let me be a part. I kept thinking about God's mercy and kept coming back to me that his mercy endureth forever. I mean, that's a long time. that's a long time. And Brother Hardin was talking today about the things that he went through, that he was glad God put him through him, because if it weren't for them, he wouldn't be where he's at today. And that is that name of Jesus, you know. And I'm in the same way. If it wasn't for the things God has put me through, I don't know where I'd be today. You know, that's hard to say, because, man, I've been through a lot of things. But his mercy endureth forever. His mercies. And you know, there's a thankfulness that God places in our hearts, that you get to the point where you're so glad that God loves you, and that you know that there's a person, that there's a God in heaven that loves each and every one of us. And I'm so glad of that. I don't know what I would do without God's mercies upon my life. You know, I was thinking, as Sister Painter was talking about, and, you know, I feel that everyone here, there is a humbleness in our hearts. And I believe God respects that. And he, you know, his mercies are on those people that has a humbleness in their heart. And he does bless those people. And because, again, I say his mercies endure forever. His mercies. God's hand is on us. Like she was saying, that there's times I believe God has helped me when I didn't even know I needed help. And that without his hand upon my life, I don't know what I would do. I just honestly don't. I would be just totally lost in this world of where to go and what to do. And, you know, if I was slung out in the world and say, here it is, and you do it on your own, I believe I would be scared to death. I don't know where I'd turn, but I do know that there's a place to run into and hide, that God's covering is in a place, and I believe I found that today. I believe I found that. I believe I found the covering that I've been looking for throughout all these 50-some-odd years. I believe I found a place in God. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that I'm so much, but what I'm saying is I found a covering that I know that I can run into and become righteous. You know, I was thinking about, Brother Hardin was saying something about, I believe it was David, slaying the giant. And you know, he slew that giant with one of the simplest little weapons that you can, even a child can make it. You can take two strings and a sock. Anybody, I mean, it was so simple. You know how they have all these, so many different kind of things, of weapons and swords and shields and things, but you know, he chose a boy that took a little sling of two strings and a sock and hung a rock in it, and it slew that giant. And it's one of the amazing thing, you just sling that thing around your head, around and around and around and around, and then you let her go. And a little child can do that. And he chose a boy to to take that little sling and pick up those five stones. And I feel like that, you know, God used that simplicity, you know. And I feel like that's where I'm at today. I'm in somewhere that we can just let the things of religion go and let the simplicity of the freedom of God dwell in our hearts. And so I appreciate being here today. And I'm looking for a blessing. I'm here for, you know, there's not a day that goes by that, and I hate to say this, I hate to feel this way, but I feel like, you know, I think, you know, after I've went through the things I have with my health and stuff, seem like there's not a day goes by that I don't think about death. And I think, Lord, that's not right. Something up here is not right, you know. But I think, Lord, you know, only God can touch a man's mind, can touch a man's heart. And I think, Lord, you've got to help me. You've got to touch me. And you know he does. He has. And God has touched my heart and my life that I'm thankful for that. Because again, I say his mercies endureth forever. And so I know I'm just rambling on, but it seems like I just have to get up and say that how much I appreciate God. No matter if it's just a little bit of something or whatever, but I've got to get up and say, I love Jesus. Because there's something about that name, Jesus, that means something. It gets down into your heart, down into your soul, plumb down into your toes, and plumb to the end of your fingers. When that word of Jesus, it just seems like that there's a spark that comes up when you mention that name. I mean, you know, that song, Oh, Tell Me His Name Again. That, it is so sweet that just seems like it just enlightens the soul and the body when that name is mentioned. And it's strange because there's other words in this world that is, there's millions of words. But that one name, when that name of Christ, Jesus, is mentioned, it puts a spark in your life. Isn't that something? But I'm glad that I'm able to hear that. So just pray for us and our family. We need your prayers. But I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm in a place that God can touch my heart. Not only touch my heart, but touch my wife and my three grandchildren. That means a lot. That means a lot to me. And so just pray for us.
But Sister Painter and different ones kind of reminded me of something. Brother McGowan made a statement back in August 21st, 1984. And he said, mark this down in your Bible and say, I'm still here. I've got that marked in my Bible. I'm still here. In 88, 93, 98, 2008, every August the 21st, I'm still here. So we're still here, and I'm just similar to you, Sister Painter. It's all or nothing. If I ain't going to do it right, just pray for me. I ain't going to do it, you know. So that's my attitude, too. So it might be a good attitude, but it's one of those attitudes. But as Brother York was making a reference, God's mercy. God has mercy. He bunged up my leg some. But he could have just bunged me up totally. I could have been laying 6 foot under, and hopefully I'd have had a semi-just resurrection, you know. But I would have resurrected at least. But I could have had that situation instead of just having a bunged up leg. So I'm thankful for being here. And as Brother Boyd and Brother David, welcome to Little Rock. You're getting a piece of the rock. It's not Prudential, but you got a piece of this rock, you know. So I'm thankful that you guys are here. But guess what happened? 41 years this week, I moved here from Kansas City, Missouri. It was a time when the church was shaking. You know, our main minister just said, everything went the way that went, if you know what I'm talking about. And then my dad got laid off from Swiss, and he thought, just, and at that time, you know, when he was working for Swiss, he was making $3.27 plus his bonuses. $3.27. Now, this is back in 1968. So that's depending on how you look at it, you know. They had a $15,000 home. And she still, after 41 years, still wishes she had that home. It was a nice home for that time. We lived in a kind of a Jewish neighborhood at that time. I mean, two blocks from your home, there's a menorah. What does that tell you? You know, so we was in a Jewish neighborhood. And plus, our next door neighbors were Goldberg. What does that tell you? You know. So, you know, we was in a semi-Jewish neighborhood. And unfortunately, I'm not that much Jew. But then, all of a sudden... Now, if you want the funny story or the facts, we got Uncle Ed's truck, or Edward. I don't know if you looked on Facebook, you've seen what my Uncle Ed looked like. We got his truck. Oh, I'd appreciate Sister Rachel. I did appreciate that I saw on the Facebook about what God can do. You know that sister when she got up. Personally, my opinion, I hope they remember Little Rock, Arkansas, 2009, like everyone talks about Shepherdsville, 1953. Because I wasn't around to be there in 53, so how can I compare it? But I can actually say I felt the Spirit of God all the way to the back of the building at our youth meeting in 2009. So I'm saying, compare apples to oranges. I felt that was the best spirit I ever felt in my life. So however you want to look at it, I hope they talk generations on generations from now, the youth meeting of 2009 in Little Rock. But I'm thankful for seeing that again, because that popped it in my head again. I thought, man, that was awesome. But as I was making reference, we had the truck. Looked like the Beverly Hillbillies truck, to my opinion, with my slides and all that junk stuff we had, towing a Volkswagen, and then riding in a 64 Falcon with a Chihuahua in the back. Yes, I had a Chihuahua when I was a little small child. And then migrate up down here on 65 Highway, when it was just a single lane highway. No double lane at that time. And then to come down here, and my dad only starts earning $1.60 an hour when he's used to hunt $3.27 an hour. So there was a cut right there. Then my mother started selling Artex. She might make ends meet. And then to buy jugs of milk and then keep the jug and then give me 2% milk before 2% milk was invented. So, I mean, come on, that wasn't fair, But I had watered down milk before it was invented. So, you know, and I'm glad to say that Brother McGowan and Sister McGowan are still here. Brother and Sister Crowe's still here. But that's, and then there was Brother and Sister Foster, if you ever met them, and different ones. And your Aunt Wilma was here. And your Grandma Spencer was here. And Sister Adams was here. But now I'm just mentioning people that were here when I was a member. Let me see, what's his name? I'm thinking of the new kid's name. Ethan, yeah. I was your age when I came here. I was, Anthony's name? Anthony. I was your age when I came here. Just a little boy. And just think, as Tyrone said, I'm just a little man doing the best I can. When I get bigger, I'll cut a bigger figure. But I'm thankful that, as Brother McGowan had me do back in 1984, I'm still here. And I'm thankful I'm still here. And if anybody wants to, Mom, I said, Mom, I'll even post that old picture of your home on Facebook. Don't you dare do that. So, but honor me, I got a copy.